Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. And today we're going to talk about the company you keep. The company you keep. Look at it. Proverbs 13, 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, a lot of how you turn out has to do with the company you keep. It really does. It doesn't sometimes have to do with how much you pray or read, although those are very important things. It doesn't have as much to do with how many times you go to church in a week, although those are very important things. But it has a lot to do with the company you keep. Recently, we received a letter from a young lady who has gone off to an academy to get some help, and she was giving her testimony. And this was just included with the newsletter from the academy. And she talked about being involved in a music ministry in her church and going to church with her family on Sundays, both in the morning and in the evening, going to church on Wednesdays with her family. And the music ministry that she was involved in expanded beyond her local church. And so she was very active in that, very fulfilled in that, very happy to be working for the Lord Jesus Christ in that. But then she met a friend. And because of that association, her heart was drawn away from the Lord. And as a result, she strayed from the Lord and did some things. She didn't explain in the letter what they were, but did some things, some regrettable things that caused her to basically come to the end of herself. And then she had to go to this academy to, you know, get her life straightened out with the Lord Jesus Christ. Had that happened, she was in church all the time. She was reading her Bible, plenty, listening to good preaching, and actually doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happened to her? She got mixed up in some bad company. One person. So the real challenge today is that we have children in church with us, and then they have their school friends, or perhaps the neighborhood friends. And frankly, most of the school friends are not like their church friends, and so they're divided. That is, divided between their church friends and their school friends, or whatever, like I said, neighborhood friends. So unless they pick friends at school that are wise, they're going to have problems. Now, what's the likelihood that they're going to find a lot of wise friends at school? Well, it's not very high. It's not that it's impossible. It's not that it's improbable. It's just not very high because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And public school education is not based upon the fear of the Lord. So finding wise friends, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Finding wise friends at school will be tough. Normally what happens is that children pick friends who are not wise. And then they're joined up with a companion, or they're joined up with a fool. And the Bible says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. What happens with kids that are in church is that they spend a couple of hours a week with their friends at church. And that couple of hours a week with their friends at church is rarely enough to compensate to the 35 or 40 hours with friends at school. And it's really not enough to compensate when you consider teen pregnancy, sexually transmitted diseases, and drugs that are so prevalent. So when we read, and you know, by the way, just because their friends are at church doesn't necessarily mean their friends at church are wise friends. Don't get me wrong about that either. Sometimes you'll find a wise person in a public school, and you'll find a fool in a church. Speaking of kids and speaking of exposure, it's not necessarily, you see, as we characterized it by some sort of a stereotype. So from this verse, we see a very important rule. And this rule is a rule by which we need to abide. Walk with wise men. Don't be a companion of fools. That's what the proverb says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So walk with wise men and don't be a companion of fools. Now, yesterday we earmarked some fools and talked about a lot of their characteristics. Today, we'll need to learn how to avoid them. So, when you consider what the verse says, walk with wise men, a companion of fools shall be destroyed, let's go to the Bible and let's find out what it means to walk with wise men. Walking with wise men means walking with wise teachers, wise friends, wise counselors, and a wise mate. Wise teachers. Wise teachers. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're looking at a verse of scripture that we've handled recently. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul, and he's writing a letter to Timothy, and he's complimenting Timothy on his faith. And he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Oh, that's a tremendous verse of scripture there, because Timothy had some wise teachers, his mother and his grandmother. His mother and his grandmother. He had wise teachers. You know, when people grow up, there's a period of time, and sometimes it lasts a very long time, where young men and young women don't want to learn anything from mom. And they seek ways to rebel against mom. And that's a terrible thing, because if your mother is a wise mother with good instruction, and I'll tell you, there are more wise mothers than there are foolish mothers, and you could learn something from her, and you reject her teaching, then you've cut yourself off from a great source of wisdom. That's why homeschool is such a popular thing and such an effective method of education, because typically, mom gets more involved in it than dad does. If he's out working during the day, he'll be involved in it, but maybe not as much as she is. And there's a wise mother training a child, and if you're going to cut off that avenue of wisdom, then you're going to cut off a wise teacher. Now, notice Lois and Eunice were wise teachers to Timothy, but notice a foolish teacher, Hananiah, in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 16. And notice what he did. Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 16. "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee," speaking about Hananiah, "I will cast thee from off the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." So there's a bad teacher right there, a foolish teacher. Why? He taught rebellion against the Lord. And you know something? You're never going to rebel against the Lord and come out on the winning side. You cannot. You see, in school, when you have to learn the material that's being taught by a teacher who doesn't believe the Lord, and being taught material by a teacher, and that material that you're being taught is contrary to the words of God, then you can go ahead and learn the material as far as you need to get the grade that you need, but use the opportunity to learn how the fools teach so that you know how to deal with it when you hear it again. In other words, using Christian apologetics, knowing how to argue for your stand and reveal the weakness in the stand of the material that you've been taught. So learn how to do that, but don't learn their ways. You see, when it came to training for the ministry for me, I didn't realize that there were a whole lot of schools out there to train ministers. I knew that there were some. I didn't realize how many there were. And looking back now, I am thanking the Lord that I didn't end up in some of those schools that have actually trained their students in higher criticism, that is, how to take the Word of God apart, or trained their students in Bibles that are not the Word of God. I'm glad that I ended up with a teacher that I did, and frankly, I ended up with one of the finest Bible teachers in the country. Regardless of other criticisms that might be leveled against him, he is a great Bible teacher. And I'm very fortunate to have gotten that because he was very wise as it concerns the words of God. Now, according to this verse, what you are to do is you are to run like crazy from anyone that wants to teach you how to do anything that is contrary to the Word of God. And you are to flock to men who want to show you things that will edify you. All right, now if you're younger, in your high school or college age years, or you're in your 20s, and you are a companion of some people that want to show you how to go to a bar and drink and find a date for the night, or they want to show you pornography to teach you about sex, or they want to show you how to smoke or how to drink or how to take drugs. If you've got any people like that that want to teach you those things, you run like crazy. Don't even stick around to find out what it is that they're thinking about or talking about or how they do what they do. Just run like crazy. Get away from them. But if you have somebody that wants to show you how to learn the Bible, or you have somebody that wants to show you how to lead a soul to Christ and teach you how to do that, or you have somebody that wants to teach you how to prepare yourself for the mission field, or how to prepare yourself for marriage, or how to get along better with your family, you have somebody that wants to teach you those things, hang around them. Because the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And you need some wise teachers. You can tell right quick whether you're dealing with a teacher that's a fool or whether you're dealing with a teacher that's wise. And if you're dealing with a wise teacher, then glean from them because you're going to be wise. All right, now, walking with wise men not only means walking with wise teachers, it also means walking with wise friends. Wise friends. And there are a lot of examples in the Bible of friends, but let me show you a real dud. A real dud. 2 Samuel 13:3. Wise friends. 2 Samuel 13:3. Again, this is a very popular verse of Scripture because it illustrates so well a foolish friend. Amnon was one of David's sons in 2 Samuel 13, and he had a sister, a half-sister, who was a full sister to Absalom, and her name was Tamar. She was very pretty. And in very basic terms, he thought he loved her, but really and truly what it was is Amnon wanted to fornicate with Tamar. That's getting right down to it. But he did not know how to arrange the opportunity. And look what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 13:3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Jonadab worked it out and arranged it so that Amnon could accomplish his intended desire against Tamar, and it turned out that what he did was not simple consensual sex, I think is the strange thing they call it today. It was rape. He forced her, and after he forced her, he was disgusted with her. He didn't want anything to do with her anymore. You know how Amnon, he was already in trouble with his lust, okay, but he needed an old friend like Jonadab to make the deal work out. Now think back and get, you know, put your mind in gear and think back and remember some times when you got into trouble and remember that there was a friend there that helped arrange it so you could get into the trouble that you wanted to get into, like maybe a time when you were too young to buy alcohol, but you had a friend who had a friend that was old enough to buy alcohol so you could drink. That kind of thing. You know what? That's not a wise friend. Because what you were doing was illegal. What you were doing was irresponsible. What you were doing could have dire consequences in your life and the lives of other people around you. You don't need friends like that. And that's the kind of friend that old Jonadab was. Took the natural lust of a man's flesh and then showed him how to arrange it so that he could accomplish what he wanted to do. What a dud. Stay away from that. Stay away from that, no matter what age you are. Now, compare old dud Jonadab with Hushai in 2 Samuel 15, verse 37, who was a great friend to King David. Hushai, in 2 Samuel 15, verse 37, the Bible says, "Behold, they have there with them," So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Now, I'm right in the middle of a context, but I just wanted you to see that Hushai was David's friend. What the context is this. David has gone into exile. Absalom has gone into Jerusalem, and he is now going to take the throne. He is going to openly and publicly lie with David's concubines to bring, you know, let everybody know that he is in reproach with his father. Then he is going to take counsel to figure out how to eliminate David's life and keep the throne all for himself. That's what he's going to do. And Hushai knows that the person that's going to counsel David is a fellow named Ahithophel, who was a very wise counselor. And Hushai's purpose in going into the city was not to betray his friend like Joab had done. The purpose, or later, the purpose for Hushai going into the city was to simply, very simply, defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. But in order to do that, he would generally risk his life. Because if Absalom ever found out the real reason why Hushai was there, he would kill him. That's a real friend. Hushai risked his life in order to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel so that David could survive the treasonous takeover of the throne by Absalom. That's a friend. That is a big friend. And that's the kind of friend you want to have. I mean, if you go through and read the Bible, and you know anything about it at all, you know that one of the greatest friends that David ever had, one of the greatest friends any man ever had, was Jonathan. And Jonathan was a wise friend because he knew that David was going to get the throne, and he knew that his father was trying to kill him. And Jonathan befriended David and set up a covenant with him, knowing there was a good possibility that Saul might be destroyed. And David, he knew David would get the throne. And he made a covenant with him that David would be merciful to the children of his household. And David was. Jonathan's son Mephibosheth was cared for by David. And then beyond that, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Proverbs says. And that's often in reference to Jesus Christ, the greatest friend you ever have. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know what the problem is with a lot of Christians? And I say with a lot of Christians, I had the same problem. You know what it is? It is knowing how to develop a friendship with Jesus Christ, your Savior. You know, we sing the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," right? Well, you can't see him, and you can't touch him, and you can't feel him, and you can't hear his voice audibly. And so it makes a very frustrating experience for somebody, particularly a young person, when they're trying to have a relationship with him, and it's very hard to sense his presence. Well, he's there. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's there. He's with you. And I'll tell you what, you need to concentrate on establishing and developing your friendship with Jesus Christ. Oftentimes what happens is that you go through life as a Christian without really having a strong friendship with Jesus Christ, and then a tragedy comes in your life and your friends abandon you. At that time, you will, if you haven't ever before, have to fall in love with Jesus Christ because you won't have anybody else around to help you. But when you do, and you may have experienced what I'm telling you, if you haven't, you will, should you live long enough, you will develop such a friendship with Jesus Christ like you've never had before, but it takes a tragedy or a very difficult time to do that. And once you've got that good friendship with him, you can count on that for the rest of your life. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know what? He's a wise friend. Christians need to spend time developing their friendships with Jesus Christ. Look, this area right here that we're talking about choosing wise friends, this is the area where you will fall quicker than any other area of your life. When I was in college, my first semester, I hooked up with the wrong crowd. Well, I mean, the constraints were off. Nobody looking after me like they did when I was younger. And I hooked up with the wrong crowd, and I got in trouble, and it cost me. When I returned for my second semester, I changed crowds. I ran with a different crowd for the next 3.5 years, and that helped me. It helped me so much that it helped me even to this day. So you need wise friends. Not only do you need wise teachers and wise friends, you also need wise counselors. We spoke of Ahithophel, and Ahithophel did defect at the end of, during this exile, at the end of his relationship with David. But notice something about Ahithophel before the defection. 2 Samuel 16:23, the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. And so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now, that's a wise counselor. That's the kind of man you want to have. You say, what do I need a counselor for? Because in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I'm in the ministry, and, you know, early on in the ministry, I was under the impression that I could just get on my knees, and I could talk to the Lord, and he would reveal his mind to me, and I could just know exactly what it is he wanted me to do and go do it. But the longer that I've been in the ministry and prayed and watched and so forth, I realize that God has men in the ministry that have had a lot more experience than I have that are available for good counsel. And I realized I'd been making mistakes about my attitude toward their benefit to the work that I do and the benefit that they are to this church. And so I pray and read the Bible, and then I'll also call wise counselors and visit with them about particular things and glean from their wisdom. And the Lord has blessed that. The Lord has absolutely blessed that. You need wise counselors. No matter how young or old you are, you've got to be able to pick up the telephone or go to somebody's house or whatever, write them a letter and pick their brain about some of the things you're thinking about doing to be sure that you are on the right track. You need wise counselors concerning job changes, wise counselors concerning marriage, wise counselors concerning family-related decisions. You need good counsel. Now, just because a person is available for counsel doesn't mean he's a wise counselor. Rehoboam sought out counsel from old men that had counseled his father, and they gave him good counsel on how to run his kingdom. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8, that he forsook the counsel of the old men. That's a terrible thing. You ought to make good friends with your father if your father's a wise man and glean from their knowledge and glean from their experience. Rehoboam forsook the knowledge of the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood with him. Bad counsel. Why? Because they wanted the same things that he wanted. The guys that I counsel with are all my senior. They've all been in the ministry twice as long as I have. They're older than I am. They've seen a lot more than I've seen. They give great counsel. You need to seek counsel. You don't just need to look for someone who will back you in what you want to do. Really listen and really pray and really seek God's will in the Bible before you move. Because excellent counsel is in the Bible. You need wise teachers. You need wise friends. You need wise counselors. And you need a wise mate. And you know something? Finding a wise mate has absolutely nothing to do with their looks. They may be good looking, but the key to the joy they're going to bring you in the marriage is their wisdom, like Abigail did for David. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 3, the description of Abigail is a beautiful description. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 3, the Bible says, now the name of the man was Nabal. That was Abigail's husband that died. He was a fool. And the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. So that's a great description of her. Not only was she pretty, but she also was a woman of good understanding. And when you're picking a mate, if you're a girl picking a boy, boy picking a girl, you have got to have somebody with a head screwed on their shoulders that's wise, not just smart, not just able to go out and make a living, but wise. Not like some of Solomon's wives. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 8, You know what the problem was with Solomon's wives? They burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. They turned his heart from the Lord. Man, so often this happens where a woman marries a man, and the man does not care for the things of Christianity or church like his spouse did when they married. And you know what happens in that marriage? Over a period of time, sometimes usually a shorter period of time than a longer period of time, that old fella has convinced her to quit going to church and to quit bothering about raising her family in church. That's what happens. Why? Not a wise man. Not a wise man at all. Then you'll get a situation where a man who's really on fire for the Lord finds a pretty girl. He doesn't consider the wisdom of the mate that he's choosing, only her body and her features and her, and you know, other things that he likes about her. They marry. She's not interested in going to church, and pretty soon he's out of church. Happens all the time. What's the problem? The problem is they didn't find a wise mate, and they regret it later when there's already been a divorce and financial complications and children and every kind of other thing under the sun. What's the problem? Give up some of them on the looks and go for something that's got a lot more wisdom. Because with that type of wisdom, you can seek the counsel of the Lord and get through some of your problems. So what's the deal here? Well, you're going to turn out a lot like the company you keep. And if you want to turn out wise, then you're going to have wise teachers and wise friends and wise counselors and a wise mate. But if you want to be an old fool, and that's the way you desire to turn out, because the Bible says that a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you want that kind of a life, a destroyed life, then go pick you a bunch of fools and you just follow them. Foolish teachers and foolish friends and foolish counselors and a foolish mate. And just go have yourself a huge time in all that foolishness. And when you are destroyed, a destroyed inheritance, a destroyed life, a destroyed reputation, then you'll look back on this and go, man, have I ever wished that I had gone with wise teachers, wise friends and counselors and a wise mate. Boy, I tell you what, this is excellent counsel from the Bible, and this is absolutely necessary for your right spiritual growth.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.